The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I said this earlier, a few weeks ago I went to San Quentin to see one of the some of the Dharma programs there. And some of these programs are doing phenomenal work with these inmates and transforming their lives, some of the most transformed lives that I've seen. I wish some of you could practice as seriously as some of them, because they're up against situations where practicing makes a huge difference. It's possible that in order to get into prison, you have to be someone who takes initiative. And so, if they get the Dharma going, they take, they have the ability to really apply themselves. And so it was really wonderful to be there and see these men, and they're doing these Dharma programs there. And they came up with a list of this. This is a question: what are we learning about what it takes to leave prison before we get out? What does it take to leave prison before we get out? And so they came up, I think, about 8 different little principles that they've learned. And this bowl is full of all these little principles. And I don't know if I did, I don't think I made enough for everyone, but I thought that you would take your chance, those of you who would take the bowl, and pick one that's going to be yours. And then once you all have been passed out, then I'd like you to read out loud those 8 principles. So 8 of you can read. You'll know that someone will start and someone else, you'll notice that yours wasn't read, so you can be the next one or something. And is that okay? So can someone take these and maybe go around and thank you, Bill, and let people choose one. This is Jacques Verdun's Insight Out program, and he's been here. He's talked here a few times over the years, and I think his Dharma talks are probably the most popular talks given here, partly because. Not just because of him, but also because he usually comes along with two paroled, two inmates who've been released from prison, it's quite impressionable to hear those prisoners talk about their experience. Yeah, don't take too many. You don't want. If you get too much wisdom, you'll get spiritual indigestion. And sometimes it's better just to have one piece of wisdom to work with for a week or two or a year. There was a time in my practice where I would read a Dharma book every day, but I wouldn't read more than a paragraph or two, and then I would be kind of overwhelmed, like, wow, this is a lot to deal with. And then I would practice with it. I sometimes reread it a number of times through the morning, through the day, and just kind of live with that 1-2 paragraphs and whatever teaching was there. And this is a little statement. Maybe it'll be nice for you. You have 2, yeah? Oh, there are lots of them. Get a second chance, Linda. So the plan, what I had in mind, was that eight people can read the eight different statements, or I think there's eight, and then, eight statements. And then those of you who are not reading, but you hear your statement being read, reflect a little bit about it, about why this is wise, or why this, how this is helpful. Or, and then when we finish having the eight reading, then maybe someone eight different people can say something about what they heard, say something about your statement, even though you didn't read it. Make sense? Okay, so who would like to read their statement? Yes, please, and to use the mic, please. Oh, you know, when we were at San Quentin and these men talked, they talked about how much their wisdom, their understanding, and also they talked about what they had to go through, the tremendous ways in which they were wounded and the suffering they had. They stood up. and they stood up and had a kind of presence, like this was a good... So could you please stand when you read this, to honor those men? This came from some really wonderful people.
We're learning to say thank you a lot as a proven guide to find our place in the scheme of things. And I wanted to read this because I've really had a quite direct experience of this recently. Most recently today, because as often happens when I sit down to meditate, I was caught by all the painful experiences of my life and the quandaries I find myself in the present time. And then when I was walking, I just was so grateful because I was so grateful to have just this simple thing to do. Just walk toward that bench and turn around and walk toward that wall. It was such a gift. and it changed my perspective on everything. And also an insight I've had recently is how I, whatever I am perceiving, I take a side. One side is I'm for, and the other side, they're the people to be disparaged. So in that context, I recently wrote a letter to the city supervisors in San Francisco about the tent encampments that I encounter when I go to certain areas of the city and my concern for the people living in the tents. And I got quite a few thoughtful replies back from city supervisors or their staff. And I suddenly realized what a hard job they have. And I found myself expressing gratitude and appreciation to them because they're on the front line. I'm just passing by. And when I found myself expressing those feelings to them, again, it was the same as today. The sides disappeared, and my perspective broadened. So just thank you.
Great, thank you.
I have the same one. And saying thank you to me is a gratitude practice. Oh, can you hear me? Too far away? I think saying thank you to me is a gratitude practice. And I had a discussion with a friend of mine a while back who was having some medical problems and had a doctor who was really, really doing well with her. And I said to her, would you thank him? And she goes, well, why do I thank him? I'm paying him. You know, I don't have to thank him. And I said, well, think back when you're at work and you're doing a really good job and you're working really hard and nobody ever thanks you for it. And she went, oh, I didn't think of that. And it's just amazing the reaction I get when I thank people for opening a door for me. And they're shocked.
Mm.
And so it's just, I don't know, it's just spreading something out. The thank you is spreading it out. It's not really for me. It's for the people around me, I think.
Nice.
But it's my gratitude practice, but I'm not, I mean, it's benefiting me, but it's not really. I don't know, I can't even explain it, but anyway.
Thank you very much. So maybe a different statement.
Yeah.
No, that's great, thank you. We're ready for the next one. Another reading of a different,
Oh, I have to stand up, I forgot.
Yeah.
That love is not just a feeling, but a quality of being present. Well, here we are. Sangha, to me, as soon as I walk in the door, I am aware of a feeling of pervasive love. And if I wasn't present, if I was still thinking about my drive here from Half Moon Bay and what I'm going to do tomorrow and that thing that I'm prone to do, I wouldn't be feeling as open-hearted with this feeling of love, and which is all intermeshed with gratitude, as I do right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Let's do something.
We are learning that being human is having entered a contract to learn how to listen, that learning to listen is the first duty of love, and that deep listening is the truest expression of worship. I've really been practicing listening, and not only that, inquiring when I'm one-on-one with someone to really find out their story and get out of my own stuff. And it's very, very beautiful to inquire about other people and hear them tell their story. So listening is quite a virtue.
Thank you. Different statement?
So what are we doing? I'll read this.
Yes.
And then what?
And if you have something very brief to say about it, you're welcome to. You don't have to.
Okay. So we're learning, in the words of David Ridge, the true forgiveness is not an action after the fact, but an attitude with which you enter each moment. That's it for me.
Great. Great. Thank you.
Sure, yeah. We are learning, in the words of David Ridge, that true forgiveness is not an action after the fact, but an attitude with which you enter each moment. So true forgiveness is an attitude for each moment.
Thank you. So a different statement.
To accept each person and every situation as our teacher. I've practiced this. Boy, put it down. I've practiced this sporadically for a long time. And I think I'm resolving from getting this as some kind of sign, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm going to resolve to have this practice more often. I think it's... if not all the time. I think it's a great practice.
Thank you. Yeah, go ahead. But you have to stand.
Okay, to appreciate how true freedom lives in understanding that this moment is all there is, just as it is.
Mm, nice.
I guess this really hits home for me because I've been putting myself on a very strict budget, you know, trying to get rid of debt. So I'm just all caught up in, like, how long is it going to take before I'm free of this, and, like, crunching numbers and stuff, and I'm all caught up in that. And it's like, I'm going to be in this slavery. I'm going to be in all in this until I get rid of debt, or I can be, like, in the moment and, you know, not be responsible with my money, but, I'm not going to be free until I'm free here and now.
Great. Well, lovely. Thank you.
That the cure for the pain is in the pain, as Rumi says, and that in healing, every wound is also a movement that cuts me open, and that if I don't show up for the pain of the cut, neither will I receive the blessing that comes through that opening. Very powerful. And actually, when I first read it, it reminded me of the Buddhist practice, which is about understanding suffering. That's what we do here. And it's not always pleasant to sit in silence and to see things that are uncomfortable. So I love this because for me, in my experience, that is the only way that I can have healing is through the pain. It reminds me of through the eye of the needle. And aversion is not the path.
Thank you. Are there any, did we read all the statements now, or is there any more that, yes?
That being free isn't just a geographical fact. It's not just the other side of the gate. At the heart of being free is not knowing where I am, but discovering who I am. And that to me means something like going inward and feeling the presence of myself or presence of being, something bigger that's always here, the feeling of being here. Which isn't anything in particular. The particulars keep changing, but there's a big feeling about it.
Great, thank you. Is that all the statements? Great, thank you. And so each of you, I guess, got a piece of paper almost, and some of you heard all the statements. And it establishes a connection between you and inmates in the California state prisons. And that these, there also, there can be teachers for us. There also, there's wisdom that's being discovered. People are being transformed. And the wisdom of these inmates in San Quentin came to us today, and we shared it with each other. Often, inmates are often unknown, forgotten, pushed aside, marginalized in our society. But they're also human beings who have tremendous capacity and potential for spiritual growth. And their spiritual growth has informed us today. Isn't that great? So thank you all. And.